everybody. Welcome back to the Gamers Lounge podcast. My name is John Meadows. With me, as always, is Eric, Nathaniel, Robert, and Dennis. I think I got everybody.
Yep, you did.
We don't count them out loud.
Yeah, I know. Well, we've
so many of us.
You know, usually there's only three, sometimes four, but now I got all five of us here. It's like, holy crap, what is going on? Is it a full moon tonight?
The generations of the Gamers Lounge Network.
Yeah, really? Jeez. And me and Eric were talking before the show, and I didn't think about this pre-show. Dennis, are you the youngest one of the bunch?
I think so. I'm 30.
Oh, I know he's younger than me.
Damn!
Because I know Eric was saying, I was saying something about being old, and Eric's like, oh, you're not much older than me. I went, I'm 48. He goes, oh, okay. I'm like, oh, all right. So, oh, okay. Oh, well. Thanks. Thanks a lot. That made me feel really
Welcome
good.
Welcome to the Geezer's Lounge podcast.
Yeah.
That hurts. I need to go to bed by 8:30.
You know, I was getting kind of tired. It was 9:15, and I was sitting there watching TV going, I could go to bed right now.
It was such a long day at work. I was like, oh, man, we're going to start this recording at 6 my time? I don't know. That's pretty late.
6 o'clock. I just ate dinner.
I'm winding down trying to get to bed.
That's what I always tell my boss when we're on the road. I mean, he's older than I am, but his dinner for him is like 7 o'clock, 7:30. And I'm like, dude, I can't eat that late because I got to go to bed by 10. And yeah, my food's not fully digested if we eat that late. And he's calling me the old man.
I'll have been at this desk for like 12 hours by the time we finish up. I'll be afraid my back's going to go out.
Oh, I know.
You got to have that good chair, man.
On the way to the bathroom.
I should have set up the walking desk, the standing desk,
yeah.
The walking pad.
I wish I had room for a standing desk. I would actually use a standing
desk.
Yeah,
I went downstairs for my when I telework, but
yeah.
I can't really use a standing desk in game very well. I mean, I guess I could probably make it work,
really.
But
nah,
I'd be like,
I couldn't do it. I couldn't game.
I can't even type effectively while walking.
It's all for the meetings, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah. But
yeah, pretty much. When it's slow, when I don't have to do anything.
Yeah. Well, that's good, though. I mean, Nikki has one for work, you know, because when she's teaching, you know, doing virtual stuff, she can stand, which is always nice because she just sits behind a computer all day. So.
Yeah, and it's good to like have one of those. Here we are talking about health, you know.
Yeah, get that 8 hours sleep, stand up for so many times a day. My watch is always yelling at me saying, you need to stand up more.
Oh, I turned that off.
I'm going to turn off the volume thing because when I'm driving down the road, my watch is telling me now, hey, that volume's a little loud. You may want to turn it down.
Oh, yeah, that's
it's like,
I stick your hand out the window and it just yells at you.
Yeah.
I didn't. We're in like 30 decibel. No,
I didn't even realize it was on. I've had that watch for like a year. It's like, it's never told me that, you know, it's that loud. It's like, okay.
There was probably some update that made it default. On by default.
You're probably right. I hate it when they do
that's
stuff.
It's gonna
like
start
that.
Going. Hey, you're still existing. Are you sure you want to do that?
Yeah. Well, I'll give you a real funny one. So I'll get up at 6 o'clock or 5:30, maybe 5 to leave for work. Leave here by 6, or and then drive maybe 4 hours at the most 5, and at night I'll check my sleep app before I go to bed, and it will say, oh man, you slept 10 hours today. And I'm like, how did I sleep 10 hours? Literally that 3 of the 5 hours that I drove, the watch thought I was asleep. And because I'm not moving enough while I'm driving, and it thought,
do you have it set up for like your sleep time?
Yeah.
So that it like it winds down and all that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think mine will only track if I'm in sleep mode.
Yeah.
So. That doesn't happen to me anymore.
No,
it's you've traveled a large distance.
Yeah, it's like wow.
It was an out of body experience.
I guess it's like I wish I slept 8 hours or 9 hours. I do remember driving, so I don't think I fell asleep while I was driving.
I don't know with the way some people drive. I think they are asleep.
Oh, I totally agree. Well, they're asleep walking around. I've seen some guys that are just zombies. It's like, what is going on here? But anyway, we're not here to talk about the habits of people. Or maybe we are. I don't know.
Not today.
I mean, it's the tangent of the day.
Sure. I mean, yeah, not too much to talk about, but you know, we do talk about a little bit of games. I actually haven't played anything this week, but I did buy a game that I've been wanting to play for a long time that I did not realize had come on Steam. Eric sat the sabotage or sat the saboteur.
Saboteur
is on Steam. Yeah, it came up like last week. I had no idea. It was
I think I freaking have it. It includes DLC. That's a cool little open world GTA like game. But yeah. it's neat. I've only ever played it a little bit. I think I have it PS3.
Yeah, I have it on PS3, but it actually plays really well on the Steam Deck. I fired it up a little while ago, and I think it was $5. It's like, oh, I gotta buy that because I've been wanting to play that game for some reason. But the one thing that I forgot was it had nudity in it right off the beginning. So I'm booting it up, and I'm like, oh, yeah. I forgot it's in that cabaret right off the bat. Okay, well, let me hide this from the wife while I'm sitting here because I don't want her to think I'm.
It's one of those soccer games.
Yeah.
You have to hide it from your wife, and then there's Michelle who's like, I feel awkward because I want to romance everybody in Baldur's Gate, and you're just judging me. Yeah, a little bit.
No, I say I hide it from her, and then I usually go, look at this. Look what's going on the screen.
Good deflection.
Yeah, nice. She's just like, what is that? I totally forgot that this game had nudity in it. But I remembered after 5 seconds into it.
Yeah, it didn't take long.
No, it didn't take long because as soon as those credits rolled at the beginning, I was like, oh yeah, I forgot about this.
I got OLED coming to work.
Yeah, buddy, it does look nice though, running in high graphics on the Steam Deck. Because I don't remember it looking that good on the 360, and I'm sure it wasn't. You know, it didn't look that good on the 360, okay. but. If you don't have it for $5 or however much it costs, buy it. It seems like it still holds up. I liked it back in the day.
It includes the DLC, right?
I guess. I really don't know.
I think the PC version does. Yeah.
The DLC is not much. $5. I thought I had this. Let me look. I might have this on GOG. Let me check.
I tried to play it on Game Pass on the ROG Ally, and I could not get it to work. So to have it on Steam, usually I don't have any problems playing Steam games on the Steam Deck through Steam. Man, there's a lot of Steam right there. But anyway, and so
a lot of Steam.
It's a lot of Steam right there. But no, what I've been
sponsored by Steam.
Yeah, yep, not sponsored by Valve. It's not,
I have it on GOG. I think I bought it when it was like $1.
Yeah, and I may have it on GOG too, but it's like, I'd rather play it through Steam because
I got it.
Yeah,
you don't have to have that stupid EA loader or anything on the Steam version, which is nice.
Oh, yeah.
I do like that.
DRM free, thank God.
Yeah, that's very nice. But no, other than that, I've just on Saturdays I've been playing Lorcana League. For those that don't know, that's the Disney trading card game. I am 4-2, either 4-2 or 6-2. I can't remember. I think I'm 4-2 though. So I think I'm tied for first with like two other guys. There's only about eight of us. I think there's been 6 to 8 of us that play, so we just play each other once. And I'm having a good time with it. I'm running the Dalmatian Puppies deck that I built, so it's like I'm always throwing out Dalmatian Puppies and then bam, hit everybody with a cheer bog. So I know
there better be 101 cards in that deck.
You can have up to 99 puppies in that deck. You are allowed. I mean, you're only allowed to have two characters or four cards of each character, but for the Dalmatians they do make an exception and you are allowed to have 99 of them if you want.
That's too short. Come on.
Could you imagine
if you're going to go to 99, go to 101. Come on.
Could you imagine having a 60-card deck with another 89 puppies in it, and you come in to play, and your stack's like this high, and everybody just goes, oh, I quit.
I'm out.
You just have them in like a card shuffler dealer thingy, so that's all the puppies. You just like pull it out when you need it.
Yeah, that would be hilarious. That would be hilarious, but... But no, I'm having a good time playing leagues. It's nice getting out and meeting new people for a change. Yeah. You know, we really haven't gotten out around here and met anybody new. I mean, the bad thing is I have to travel an hour though. It's an hour away, which it's okay. Nikki goes grocery shopping while I'm playing league, so And then we come home and I talk about League for the next week. But that's really what I've been doing is trying
how
out.
How does she feel about that? She's just like.
She don't care, actually. We started out playing just each other. So, you know, every weekend we would just, you know, we would just play me and her. And she got tired of me playing her all the time. So she was like, you need to go to League and start playing other people because it's just, and she did the open, launch party. So they had like, I forget what they call it, but you buy six packs, you make a deck out of it, you play with what you got, you know, no matter what. And, she did that and she liked it, but she didn't like it enough that she wanted to do it every week with, you know, quote unquote competitively. I say competitively, these people are very laid back. It's not super competitive. Now, if I went to the same store that was 10 miles up the road, they have like 30 people that come and play a week. And that sounds a little too more competitive for me. It's like, no, I'm happy with 8 to 10 people. It's kind of, you know, but man, last Saturday was the launch party for the Pokemon, the new Pokemon game, card game that came out before we played League and we were there. Man, them Pokemon people, they're serious still.
Yeah.
There was a crap ton load of people there to play Pokemon.
They get crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, it was wild just sit there and watch them. And I mean, it wasn't just older people, it was younger people, it was kids, it was, you know, and everybody was real friendly, but I was like, holy crap, there is like 50 people in this store. It's like, and new Pokemon cards, I guess, come out every 2 or 3 months like everybody else's does. I don't know, but
it's a lot.
Yeah, it's crazy though, but you know, you'd think after all these years that people with the Pokemon cards would kind of be tired of them, but I guess not. It still brings the people into the stores. At least that's what the store owner told me. Said that's still their bread and butter.
They're keeping it fresh. They got to be doing more than just new Pokemon, right?
Yeah.
I guess.
Rule changes or something.
I honestly don't know because the last time I picked up a Pokemon card was like the very first set back in the when they came out in the late 90s, whatever that first run was. That's the only time I'd ever. So I couldn't tell you. My nieces and nephews.
It had a name. It was just trading card game. That's all it was.
Yeah.
Like the original. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then they started having the Team Rocket booster packs.
Yeah. Yeah. Now it's crazy. I go to card shows and there's tons of them, tons of graded stuff. I go to yard sales and I see stacks of cards and I'm like, probably something in here, but I really don't want to know. I don't want to dig through it.
Maybe.
You'd be there for 5 hours looking.
Like, oh, it's a penny, it's a nickel, it's a quarter. What am I doing?
Yeah. Oh, I know. It's, well, and some of these Disney cards are crazy. Most of them are 5-10 cents, but then you got some that are harder to find, like the legendary Robin Hoods, and they're like $40. And it's like, holy crap, I still need two of them. It's like, I'm not paying $80 for two cards. I'm not doing it.
Yeah, yeah.
It's insane. There's one guy that I trade with on a regular basis. He actually lives in Georgia. And when I get the enchanted cards, which are like one in every 4 boxes, you can find one. And that's usually about what I've found. And I had 2 from this one. They're 2 Cherubogs. They're both worth $160 a piece, and he traded me a stack of $300 worth of cards for my 2 cards that he wanted.
There you go.
It's like, that's the only reason why I keep the expensive ones that I find. It's like, because I trade them to him because he wants all of them, and I'm like, more power to you, bud. Those enchanted cards, the cheapest ones, are like $100 all day long.
And I remember, I think I was in 6th grade when the original Pokemon cards like hit critical mass.
Yeah.
And I remember my dad came into school one day during my lunch with a surprise and he handed me the Charizard foil card and he spent $20 on this card. That was a lot of money. I was just like, oh my god, you spent how much money on one Pokemon card? Oh my god. And that thing was like my crown jewel for however long. And then course, all my cards got ruined in a flood.
Oh, that's too bad.
I don't have that anymore. But no. But I will always have that memory.
Yeah. It's a shame you don't have that card because you could buy a really nice big screen TV with it.
I don't know.
Or a motorcycle.
Like $400 at this point.
Oh, I don't know. Like, some of them are still pretty expensive.
Like when I played Yu-Gi-Oh, that was like me with when I got the card Relinquished, when they started doing like fusions and stuff in Yu-Gi-Oh. Relinquished was like, that was like the card to have back then. Mm. And then I remember getting it in a pack and just like that was like my crown jewel basically, where I was like, this is this is my card. But yeah, I think everyone at some point or another has that one card that they like remember fondly. They're just like, oh man, like this was the card to have, you know, and it still more or less will hold its value to its to this day, depending on the card. But yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy what, you know, they have a website called dreamborn.inc, and I can put all my cards in there, and then when I make decks, it can tell me if I have this card or if I'm missing this card or whatever, and how much it would cost to get this card. And it tracks the value, quote unquote value, of your collection. And it's like, just in series 1, 2, and 3, I think it's up to like $2,700 in cards that I have worth now. It's like, and I didn't spend anywhere near that much for them, you know, of course, but it's like, holy fright, how can a brand new game that's been out since September and it's already worth, I mean, the series, of course, but I'm the guy that has, the, you know, a set is 204 cards and I have four sets of those, so I can make every deck that I need to make, or could make. So I'm that crazy guy that's got to have four sets of each one of them. I'm going head first. You know, so, but still, it's like, if I was just buying singles and having to spend that much money on it, that's insane. But that's when you
looking at the card right now, and it looks like anywhere from like $55 to $175. So it's actually come down
A
little bit, I think, in the last 5-10 years.
Yeah. Well, but still, you know. You never know. People spend crazy money on cards.
Well, let me see if I look up first edition, because you know.
Yeah, look up first edition and see what TCG Player. That's where you want to go. They have them all there. But, yeah.
I'm not really seeing a whole lot here.
But, you know, it's all what anybody's going to pay, but it's just crazy that people pay that, you know, crazy money for a piece of cardboard with something printed on it. Still blows my mind.
It's nuts. My brother and I talked about that this weekend, too. We're hanging out at the convention. He's like, we took all those Pokemon cards in high school to a card shop in the mall, and they gave us, like, $50. I'm like, yep. And now you're probably sitting on like $300 to $400 worth of cards, but oh well, live and learn.
Yeah, who knew? It's like me as a kid, you know, we had Star Wars figures and old G.I. Joes and stuff like that, and we beat the crap out of them, threw them in swimming pools, playing with them, dug in the dirt, buried them.
Please tell me you melted some.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, all that stuff, you know, and then come to find out now, you know, if we'd have kept it in the box, it's like, look how much money it would be worth. It's like, no, you don't do that as a kid. You just enjoy it and, you know.
Well, you use it as it's like, supposed to be.
Yes, exactly.
As a kid.
You use it as intended.
A closet in my parents' house, there's a bunch of my box PC games. They're just empty boxes, right?
Yeah.
And most of it's not worth that much, but there was a Deus Ex, Thief Gold, Trapezoid Box, and maybe... Oh, yeah, the LucasArts, The Dig. And The Dig's not bad.
Yeah. That
Deus Ex game's like $100 big box, and so is the Thief game. And, at Half-Life 2, the Collector's Edition. Yeah, what'd I do? I threw it all away. I was like, I think my parents probably got rid of it because I was gone to college and like just taking up space.
Well, yeah.
Just do these empty boxes.
That's like I say, whoever would have thought back then though that games was be worth something like that? I didn't, obviously, or I would have kept all my games that I had. But you know, I didn't. I sold them, traded them, you know, whatever. You know, you didn't know. Nobody knew. So. I say nobody knew, but I'm guessing somebody knew somewhere because there are still sealed copies of those things out on the market. So somebody had the forethought to
Oh, somebody just like kept a bunch of different things, and they happened to keep like two or three that actually like went up, and then the rest of them are still junk.
Yeah,
garbage.
I mean, really, anything that you know is popular and in the zeitgeist will eventually be worth something if you keep it pristine to someone,
yeah.
right?
Yeah. Well, looking at the prices, the unlimited holo foil of what you sent was $893. That's wild.
I don't even know what that means. The unlimited.
I don't either. I don't know what that means. Dennis, do you know what that means? What's that mean?
Unlimited foil? I don't know.
Oh, okay. I thought maybe you knew what that was. You're...
It means expensive.
Yeah, that was the first thing my eyes went to, and I was like, what the hell is this? I'm not...
I don't have a clue. Oh, here's one sending a damaged... Oh, wait. I can't. Let's say here's one that maybe I can see what it is. The first listing there for sale for $500 is a damaged unlimited holo foil, and he has pictures of it. It looks
near
like
mint unlimited holo foil. We got
near mint
$1,200,
minty
$3,100, $4,000.
That guy, that one is damaged. You look at the back of that card, and it is just cracked and everything, and he still wants $500 for it. Insane, insane. That's just
crazy. I'll keep my $500, thanks.
Yeah, yeah, really.
Yeah, I'm good.
So Nathaniel, what have you been playing?
Same thing since last show, Cyberpunk 2077.
Yep.
And I still haven't gotten to Phantom Liberty yet because I keep getting distracted and doing a bunch of side jobs and things in that game.
That's funny.
What a choom.
But yeah, like that game is still awesome. It was awesome when it came out. It was just awesome with problems, and now it's awesome with much fewer problems.
Yeah.
Much fewer.
Have you encountered any cool problems since the updates?
I mean, this is the first time I've played it since launch, so it's like big distance between. So I haven't run into anything crazy. Just normal kind of like open worldy type stuff of like, oh, look, that person walking down the street did something weird because they're just, you know, very simple AI, right? Like you'll see in any kind of game like this, but not even anything super crazy. Just like a little animation hitch or something, yeah. A few times, nothing crazy. Like, oh, look, they shot off to the moon or anything like
that. Nothing Red Dead Redemption crazy, you know, where the people be walking and get hit by a car or hit by a cart or hit by a train or.
I have a few videos saved from when it came out on the PS5, and the only one I even remember right now is there was like a truck that glitched through a wall, but like towards me, so like it was like running me over, and I caught it all on video. It was great.
Yeah, the console versions at launch were very much less good than the PC version that I was playing. Because the PC version had some normal issues for a game, but man, those console ports when that first came out were not good.
Yeah.
Not good at all.
Yeah.
But I'm still playing PC versions, so I don't know. Maybe they're still not good. I have no idea.
Yeah. I don't know.
I mean, they're pretty good now. I waited for, what was it, the 2.0 update. So like when they actually launched the next-gen copies of the game. And that was pretty good. I did have one game-breaking bug. But I also ported my save over from PC, so I don't know where it originated. But there was like a mission where I couldn't, it wouldn't like trigger a cutscene or a voiceover where there was supposed to be an NPC in a bedroom to continue the mission forward. They just didn't exist in my game at that point, and I couldn't get it to re-trigger, and I had to like go to like a much earlier save and finish everything else in my mission log before attempting that one, and that somehow helped me get through it.
I have too many saves because I have all my like regular saves. There's probably like a dozen of them that I just cycle through. If I have to back up, I can. Then like there, I think it does at least half a dozen levels of quick save, and it does like probably a dozen levels of auto save. So there's like a bunch of saves in the PC version at any given time. I haven't really needed to use them, but they're there if I did need it.
I love glitches, just silly glitches in games like that. I know it's like everybody gets, oh, this is just game break. I hate game breaking glitches, but just dumb little glitches. Oh my gosh, they make me laugh so hard.
I love them.
Yeah, like I said, always Red Dead always seemed to have like the funniest ones because it was just stupid ones. It was just stupid AI is all it was. Just.
Yeah. I have bought a new apartment in here, which wasn't a thing at launch. That's something they added in one of the updates. So I now have a downtown apartment instead of your starting apartment that you have in the game.
Yeah. That's cool.
I'm saving up to buy the coolest, most expensive motorcycle so I can get rid of Jackie's motorcycle that I've been driving since the beginning of the game. Because it's literally the best vehicle and you get it super early on. It's like, oh, hey, this car that doesn't drive super well? Nah, don't care about it. Oh, all this other things you can buy? Nah, thanks. I want my motorcycle that weaves in and out of traffic. It's fun. So I want to get the expensive one that has glowing wheels. It's fun.
Yeah. That's what you want. You want something fun in the game.
Yeah.
I think
they, I mean, there's a couple other
glowing wheels now. You can like toggle them, I thought. I thought you could toggle all motorcycles' wheels to glow at this point.
I don't think so.
Because I'm pretty sure Jackie's.
Well, I mean, if it's a thing, I just don't know, but that could be. If there is a button, I haven't discovered it.
on controller, I think it was like L3 or R3, one of the two.
Hmm.
But I don't know what that equates to on keyboard.
Well, I'm using a controller anyway.
Oh, well, there you go.
Yeah, it's like I've hit those buttons, I'm sure, so I don't know. I was trying to think if I had actually, like, used them for something. But, yeah, I don't know. Maybe there's something that... I know there was some paint thing that they added that only works for a specific, like, brand name or whatever in the game of cars.
Mm.
Have this special thing that you can do, and you can change kind of, like, the coloring of the paint. But...
That's cool.
I don't know about, the, like, the glowing lights or something. I'll have to look into that. But, yeah. Doesn't matter. It goes fast.
Yeah.
I've been doing the racing side quest that has basically four total races.
Mm.
If you win to get to the final one, anyway, and they're like a little bit easier because the handling is better than launch. So it's like, oh hey, these are a lot less painful than I remembered them being.
Yeah.
But yeah, like I'll just do a bunch of like side quest stuff, or hey, here's the thing that you know you're going by somewhere, and hey, here's somebody who's getting assaulted, and the police have a bounty on it. Go clear it out and get some money, or just like kind of open worldy type stuff, and then I'll do a main mission or two, and then I'll go back to doing random stuff so I can get more money, so I can go buy whatever clothes or whatever I wanted to. I've got a huge wardrobe now. That's something that they added that's really nice, is you actually have like a wardrobe. So anytime you pick up clothing or buy clothing or anything, you don't have to keep it in your inventory. You can get rid of it. And it stays in your wardrobe.
Mm.
And you can make up to 6 different outfits that's like, no matter what you're wearing, it kind of replaces it. So you can do all sorts of different looks if you want, and you can wear, you know, one whatever dumb-looking thing that has armor stats or something on it, and then make yourself look cool with all of your other clothes that you've ever picked up in the game. So
yeah, that's cool.
More things you pick up, the more options you have to put cool, dumb, whatever outfits together. I have both.
Yeah. I like it when they do things like that, though. That's always
like,
cool.
Yeah, I really.
Here's my outfit where I want to look cool.
Yeah.
Here's my outfit where I want to look cool and fancy. Here's my outfit where I want to just look stupid and so mismatched, you know?
Yeah.
Whatever mood I'm in, I can switch it. And you can do it in your inventory, too. So once you have to do it from your apartment to set them up. But once you've done that, you can just pick them from your inventory anywhere you are.
Yeah, that's cool. That's
cool. I don't know which update they did that. It might have been the latest one. It might have been an earlier one. I have no idea. But
yeah.
That's a cool new thing.
Do you know about the pets that you can get in your apartment, in like your first apartment?
I don't know, because like honestly there's really no reason to stay in your apartment in that game, so.
No. No there isn't.
I didn't know there were pets.
I think one is a cat, and there's like a side mission or two that will get it for you, and then the other one is like an iguana, which is really cool but kind of hidden if you don't know about it. You have to go back to like that tall like skyscraper building that the heist mission was in. You have to like break back into there. And if you go all the way back up to the top, there's like a terrarium in there where you can get an iguana egg. Hmm. And if you have this iguana egg and you do whatever things you need to do to trigger the right events, it will eventually hatch in your apartment. And there's some like cool interactions with Johnny in there in regards to the iguana that if you ever get around to it, I highly recommend it.
Huh. Yeah, I didn't know that.
There, I mean, there's so many like little kind of Easter eggs or just fun things in there. I just did a side mission there, one of the gigs where you end up going breaking into a samurai super fan, and he has Johnny's pants that you can pick up. And a bunch of like posters on the wall that you can interact with, and Johnny will say something about it. Like, oh, I remember that one. It was great. Or, well, man, that one was terrible. I don't remember this one.
It reminds me of all the fun Easter eggs they put in, like, Dying Light 2, all the cool, like, throwbacks to, like, the first game or, like, the Hidden Doom level and all that other stuff. And I like it when developers have fun with that sort of stuff. You know, they want to have a good time and they want to make it. So I like that sort of stuff in games.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like the hidden stuff that makes you want to just persist in that world, like outside the main
like
content.
Getting in Dying Light 2, getting the Doom level and the like gun, it took me like an hour, even after looking at a video, because you have to like fly this, you have to get a very high skyscraper, and then you have to use the glider and rappel down like 6 or 7 stories, and the limited hitting these limited windows, you gotta hit 3 switches. Hit them. You have limited time to jump and hit the next one, and it's very tough. Like, you gotta plan out perfectly. Miss it once, you're screwed. Back to the bottom, start all over.
Mm.
I kept missing the last one.
Of course.
Ah, too far outside the building.
Of course, if you're gonna miss one, it's gonna be the last one. Why not?
Yeah. But I was happy at the end. I was like, oh, this is cool. This is well worth it.
Yeah.
A sweet gun that I'm never gonna use, but hey, it was kept me busy.
Yeah.
I mean, they used to put some of that stuff in the Battlefield games.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Was it Battlefield 4 that has the Megalodon? That was some big thing that like people found all these different secrets and figured out how to do it. And there's like all this stuff that you have to have a bunch of people do, and then like a giant shark shows up on one of the maps.
Yeah, they had a lot of fun. I didn't really notice much in Baldur's Gate 3, but in the first two Baldur's Gate games, there are a lot of like really funny, like ha ha ha, poke at the developers and like that, because you know Interplay, Black Isle, they did stuff like that in Fallout 1 and Fallout 2. Like, you go down a well and there'd be all these like dead corpses with names on it. Well, it was all like the developers and things like that, or weird things like that.
Oh man, it's kind of cool. There has to be that all over Baldur's Gate 3. It's just so big that it'd probably be easy to miss, because it's Larian. They've done that in their previous games a lot.
Yeah,
I'll have to look.
Larian likes to poke fun at themselves.
That's good. You gotta have a sense of humor.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that.
I mean, why else would your logo have this... the little suction cup arrow on it for years?
Exactly.
You have a sense of humor, and it's great.
This is crazy. Speaking of things, in Baldur's Gate 1, 2, and one of the expansions, I think the expansion for the first one, there is a piece of armor you can find. Find all 3 pieces, you're wearing the power armor suit from Fallout 2. And it is incredibly powerful, but I think if I try to, I'm just going to cheat and fall out of Baldur's Gate 2 and get it. Like, I don't want to have to play the first game and the expansion. I mean, it's easy enough to do, it's just slow going. But yeah, always fun like that. Let's, you know, make it interesting.
Yeah. That's cool when they do stuff like that. Yeah. But, so that's it, Nathaniel? That's all you've been playing?
Yep, that's all I've played since last time. All
right. Well, Eric, what have you been playing?
Just more Bloodstained. And I barely played any of it. I was pretty busy last week with some stuff with work and things like that, plus getting ready to go to the convention. I was gone last weekend and the weekend before, so I try to play during the week, but sometimes I'm just not interested. I used to game way more during the week, but I'd rather just read or watch TV sometimes.
Yeah, I get that.
Yeah, I get that.
It's... You know, when you get home from work and you're tired, you don't really feel like, you know, sometimes don't feel like sitting and playing a video game.
Baldur's Gate 3 was enough of a had its hooks in me, and Elden Ring 2, where I would like I would want to keep playing it, but most everything else I'm just getting, yeah, having trouble staying interested. Although Bloodstained, I'm trying to get the good ending or the third ending. That's the toughest, so I have to do a little bit more than I made it to the last boss. But in order to get the fun third ending, you got to go do a bunch of other stuff. I'm like halfway through that piece of it.
Yeah.
Only other thing is, I went to
what convention did you go to? What was it?
So there used to be this thing in March that was the like Portland Retro Gaming Expo swap meet, where it was like a mini version of the Portland Retro Gaming Expo.
Okay.
A couple years ago, one of the gaming stores down there, they took it over and they called it like the gaming store's called SideQuest Games, so they called it the SideQuest Expo. Pretty much the same thing. Giant swap meet. There are some like video game tournament stuff, but it's in a hotel in downtown Portland, Oregon. It's pretty good. I mean, but you're mostly going there to buy or sell or trade. There were some guys doing, but I saw a lot of tables are just random people just selling stuff instead of like, you know, stores with their goods. It was interesting. I bought some stuff. John already knows.
Yeah.
The one thing I bought this. Oh, look, it's a Devastator.
Is it a real reissue or is it a Chinese knockoff version?
It's not a Chinese knockoff.
Oh, okay.
It's the one from 2017.
I tell you, I've seen a lot of videos online of those things, and it is hard to tell between the knockoff and the real one. It is really hard.
My buddy has one, and he's like, the plastic's kind of brittle.
Yeah.
Careful with the lens. But no, this guy had it up on a shelf at the thing, and he's like, $60. I'm like,
That's pretty good. That's
a pretty good deal. It's worth like $150, and I was like, "How about $50?" And he goes, "Okay."
Man, it's like I remember that gift set, the original from when I was a kid, and wanted it so bad, and couldn't afford it, and mom and dad wouldn't buy it for me. I don't remember how much it was back in the when it first came out in the '80s, but every week I got a $5 allowance, and that was enough to buy one Constructicon at the store. So it took me 5 weeks of going to the store every Friday to get another Constructicon to make the Devastator. But that was back when you could actually go in a store and go, oh, I'll only buy this one, and you could come back next week and go, oh, look, they still have tons of them, I can buy another one. It's not like that anymore. It's like a lot of times if you see something, a toy that you want out, you need to buy it then, because chances are you'll come back in the next day and it'll be gone and you will never see it again. I mean, it is ridiculous trying to collect toys these days.
Yeah, I'm trying to think.
Collecting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's adults collecting it. That was the story that came out last year, that toy sales were up last year like 65% or something like that, and it was all because the demographic between the ages of 30 and 60 were buying toys again. That's what made it go up, because collectors like us, or you know, we've got disposable income, and it's like, oh, our childhood. Yeah, they're making new toys that are remind us of the ones we had when we were kids. Oh, I gotta buy that. Put it up on the shelf. It's crazy.
Wasn't that also like in the middle of COVID though?
Yep.
Too. Mm-hmm. Like, people are just like, I have money and I'm just at home.
Yep. Oh, so I'm gonna order them online.
I did buy a few other things. John already knows. I bought there's a guy. I hit a booth from Northern California, because we talked about California. I was just curious. And he had a Laserdisc interactive Sega Genesis system. Takes Sega CD, takes Genesis.
Plays Laserdiscs.
Yeah. He had a couple of Sega Genesis arcade sticks. And he had a 6-button one, which is one I've been interested in. I haven't been able to really find it locally, or actually at another show. He let me hook it up. I played with it with that C button on it. I was like having to pound that thing. Like it was just not detecting. And he's like, well, I cleaned it once, I could clean it again. But I'm like, if you clean this once, there might be something else going on. And it was a little bit dirtier and grimier, but I couldn't say no to that 3-button with the light up. When you turn on the turbo, each of the buttons has a little light above it. It was really nice. And he gave it to me for $20.
Yeah, the 3-button one was the one I still want. I've got 2 of the 6-button ones.
If you decide to get rid of one of your 6 buttons, I'll take it.
I've never seen the 3-button ones around here. Somehow I lucked into 2 of them.
And the thing is, like, I was asking for games to test the 6-button, and I couldn't find really anything. I really need like Street Fighter 2, because Mortal Kombat kind of does it, but I it it's nah. because most of the shooters or like platformers are all three button.
Yeah.
You really need one of the like later releases. Anyway, that was pretty cool. There was a one guy in the corner had all these like consoles for sale, and he had a Wii bundle for $10. I'm like, got like two extra Wiis at home, but I'm not saying no to a $10 Wii bundle that came with a stack of games.
What are you gonna do with all these extra consoles?
What do you think? How else do I fund all my other gaming? Gotta sell them. Gotta trade them.
This man has started doing his own. Yeah, this man has started doing his own yard sales instead of going to yard sales. Oh. That's the weird thing.
I went to a trading show earlier this year, and I had my own table and slung a bunch of stuff I picked up the last year or so. It was pretty good. Nice. Covered most of the stuff I didn't want. Usually during the year I have a couple of yard sales. Or a buddy in town has one, and he's like, if you run the ad, I'll let you come to my house and sell the stuff. I'm like, okay, I'll put the ad on social media. I don't care. So bring over my table. Now I have to have it in my house. And his house is a little bit more central in town, so he gets a little more foot and driving traffic.
Yeah, see, that's always nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I looked at, like, other stuff. But it was all prices were market or more or less. One of the craziest things was I saw N64 stuff, you know, all the common N64 stuff and popular. They had, like, GoldenEye for, like, $45. Mario 64 for like $40. Two booths over, $20 for both games, which is a pretty fair price.
Yeah, that's fair. Like, that's crazy.
Looking around, I was like, that's weird.
No, you said
it was. Yeah, it was interesting. There's some cool stuff. There's some other stuff I passed on.
That was that was what was hilarious about that picture you sent, because I think it was the picture of your of the controller. And and I looked at the controller and went, oh, that's cool. And then I just glanced a little to the right and I went, wait a minute, is that one of those Pioneer Sega Laserdisc combo things? It's like,
and I've never seen one of those. I've seen the Saturn, Sega Saturn karaoke machine, but I've never seen this. And this is cool. Like, you know how much you wanted, John? You wanted $1,500.
I figured it was around $1,400. That's what I was going to say.
He hadn't done anything. All I could think about is that drive's going to fail. Those caps are going to fail.
Yeah, it needs caps replaced on it. And
I think I probably could have got them down, but I'm like, what am I going to do with this?
Oh, man. The sad thing is, here's the sad thing. I would love to get a Laserdisc player. I've always wanted one just to get some of those copies of movies on Laserdisc that they you know, that you can't buy on Blu-ray or something like that, just to have them. Mm. Like the original Star Wars on Laserdisc.
Isn't there a plug-in for that one, for the Laser Interactive, that does TurboGrafx too? Just got it. I thought there was another something that would go with that system.
It's been a long time since I've looked at one. I don't remember.
The Genesis thing's really cool. The cart just plugs in the front.
Yeah, it just all plugs right in the front. Yeah,
in and out.
It was so cool. It was like, and I don't ever remember back in the day ever hearing about it. That's the thing. It's like,
yeah,
I don't know.
One of those things for hardcore collectors.
Yeah, I don't know who they marketed it to.
There was somebody there selling gaming themed cat toys. I could not say no. I definitely bought a couple.
That'd be great.
Jeez. Yeah, they were like controllers and little like, you know, ghosts and little like bullet bills. I bought the cat a controller and a bullet bill, and there was like little you know, some of the boxes from Mario and the coin stuff. I'm trying to think. I'll put a couple of pictures in the chat. I'm trying to think. I kind of knew this existed, but I'd never seen it before. There was a portable stereo. You know, the kind that you'd have on, like, your desk or something. Mm-hmm. The CD player. That was also a Genesis. I knew of that, but I'd never seen it before.
Oh, the CDX?
Not the CDX. This is the...
AWA? It looks like a boombox.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, okay, I remember that. I remember that.
The price was actually kind of reasonable, but I don't know.
Yeah, it was like a round... Almost a roundy oval thing. It had it looked like a boombox that you would carry around in the 90s. Yeah, I vaguely remember seeing that before. Yeah, they slapped the Genesis in everything.
Yeah, that's how much more can we sell it? Let's get somebody to buy it. Yeah, there was lots of interesting stuff. There were books, there were Funkos, there were action figures, there were Legos, there was custom artwork and all sorts of stuff. It was a pretty... Like, it's not as expensive as some of the other conventions I've been to go. It was very cheap. It was like $20 or $30 for a weekend, and it included an early bird pass. Let you get in an hour early. But it was good. Glad I went. I wasn't going to ask for like a press pass because it's so small that it was just more of it just to go and hang out.
And those smaller ones, you don't mind paying to keep them keep him in business. So.
Yeah, it was good to go. But that's about it. That's all I've been doing. I'll probably have more stuff to play in the next couple of weeks when things settle down a little bit.
So, Robert,
the weird like console hybrid that I would be interested in getting is like the PSX version of the PS2 that I think only came out in Japan. Yeah, I don't even remember what it was like a combination of, but it was.
Oh, the one that was like a square. It looked like it just looks like a box. It looks like a VCR almost is what it looks like. Yeah, those things you can actually buy them relatively cheap if you can find one that works. That's the thing. A lot of them were prone to fail. And I don't know what failed.
$500.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, for what it is, it's not, yep, there's that, Awa. Yep, I remember that now. I'd forgotten about that. But, yeah, because my mom had a CD player that looked exactly like that, but it didn't play Genesis games. It just played CDs. CDs and tapes, but, yeah, boy, I remember that. That is funny. But, yeah, that's... that PSX, I can't remember what was, but you're right. I can't remember.
Part DVR, maybe.
Maybe.
The one, yeah, I think it's DVR, because the Panasonic Q for GameCube, that was also a DVD player. You get those from Japan, but those things are notorious for failing. Not just the guts, but the drives, those Panasonic Qs for GameCube, they just crap themselves.
That's why I got it pulled up here on the. It was a fully functional digital video recorder with an included infrared remote and S video, composite video, and RF outputs. It could tune the, VHF.
That Game Gear I sent, that was it's a red one. It's for all the cigarettes you smoke. You turn it. The guy was telling me, he's like, I got this from somebody who's not alive anymore. And I thought, he's like, I guess you had to just like smoke and smoke and smoke and cut off the something on the cartons, send them in, and there you go. I did not sniff it.
No, I don't blame it.
I want to know if it still smelled, but it was kind of cool.
Yeah, so that thing was able to tune analog VHF and cable TV, so it had a DVR on it, and you could link a PlayStation Portable to transfer photos, videos, and music via USB ports. But it had software for non-linear video editing, image editing, audio editing, and DVR Plus support.
That thing is cool.
Yeah, I mean, it is really, really cool. I mean, it does. It just looks like a box, you know, but it's the stuff that it did is really, really cool. I kind of always wanted one of those, too, when I found out they existed.
Yeah.
It's like, well, what am I going to do with it? I don't know.
Not a damn thing.
Yeah. But I want it because it looks cool. I do that a lot. It's like, you know, it's like Nikki's like, what are you going to do with that? I don't know. It's going to sit on a shelf and it's going to look cool.
I don't have a PS2 anymore, so I guess I could just...
Well, there you go. Yeah.
It was interesting, too, because I actually bought a couple other things just for me. I found a copy of Control for PS5, which I surprisingly don't have, and it was $10. I'm like, okay, I'll buy that. And I found
all the time digital.
Yeah,
I have it free digitally, but I want to have the PS5 version. And I also found a copy of Bloodstained, the game I've been talking about, for $10.
Yeah, it's nice having digital, but man, something have a if you want, if it's something that you're going to keep, you definitely like to have a physical copy of it, especially in this day and age.
Starts getting delisted. I actually did that. I had a long list of stuff I own digitally, and I'm like, what do I own physically as well? Or is it owned on? If it's owned on Steam or GOG, I'm pretty confident that it's going to be around. Like, I can still play Spec Ops: The Line on Steam, and I can't play it anywhere else.
Yep. Yeah, it's.
I'm all digital.
There's nothing wrong with that, man.
No,
I understand because space, and you've had to move two times pretty recently, and I hear you.
I don't know
what I would have done with all the things I buy.
Yeah. Well, and I'm very much on the more digital now, but there's just some things that I still want to have a physical copy of just to have. Usually it's a Star Wars game, the Yakuza games, stuff like that. But most of the time it's about all digital now. I have the last actual Blu-ray movie physical I bought was No Way Home. Was that the last? No, not No Way Home. What was the Homecoming?
I think it was the last. I own barely any movies now. Yeah. Mostly digital, or I just stream stuff.
It's just far too convenient than to have to switch your disc all the time, and then they get lost in other cases.
Well, yeah, but with all the streaming networks dropping stuff to keep you know, spending money all the time, and then it's like, well, now I can't watch it because it's nowhere, or it was here, now it's over there. It's like starting to get a little crazy in the last year or two.
I subscribe to most of, well, not most of them, but like the big ones, right? I got like the Hulu Disney bundle, I got Netflix, and I got Amazon Prime because I will always have Amazon Prime. So, and then I get HBO free with my cell plan. So like I'm pretty well covered, and I don't really need to know where they are because I use an Apple TV, and it's just like I'll search it up on the Apple TV, and it's like open this in this app. Okay, great, do that for me. Yeah. So it's just, it just kind of aggregates it for me.
I have really considered starting I don't know what you call it. Like a, I'm thinking about getting one of those little server things that hold. I can put like four big hard drives in and just taking all my Blu-rays and
getting like a NAS.
Yeah, and putting them on that, and then I'll have all, you know, I'll have the physical stuff. I'll have it boxed up, but then I'll still be able to quote unquote stream what I want because you know I'll have it all on a mini server here in the house, and those things have gotten relatively affordable. I say relatively. I mean, they're like $200 or something like that. But you know, by the time you get discs, hard disks,
like, it depends on how much storage space that you need.
Yeah, and I need a lot. I would need a lot. I would need a lot because there's some things that you just can't get even on terrestrial TV anymore. Like the Drew Carey Show. We wanted to watch that so bad. You can't find it anywhere. They don't make it on DVD. They don't have They don't have it streaming anywhere. It's not on, TBS because it's because of the music that they used in it. They're not going to pay. They're not going to pay the rights for the music anymore, so they let it go. So they can't legally show it on TV anymore. So you have to go other means to find it. You know. So
you can buy it on iTunes.
Season one. That's all you can buy. You can't buy the other seven seasons because season one didn't have any music in it.
It's very weird.
Yeah, so season two and all the other seasons, they were doing musicals, they were using licensed music, and they were doing covers of songs and things like that, and they don't want to pay for it. So
you want to know why? I saw a couple of questions about my pictures. You want to know why about that Mariners DS Lite? So that was only, you could only buy it in the Mariners Stadium, Seattle Mariners Stadium, Safeco.
Okay.
It was in the Kingdome. The thing about it was it came with something on it that not only is a sticker on there, there's something on the actual software that makes it like incredibly rare. And so people go, there was a sealed one at the show. I did not take a picture, but it was $1,400.
Wow.
And this guy that had this, he's in a gaming group I'm in. He found it at like a Value Village or maybe Goodwill Bins. My brother wants one of those so bad. I'm like, dude, you're going to have to pay, man. It's going to be like $300 or $400 probably.
That's crazy.
I'm like, you might be able to get a loose one. $200 seems high. You could probably negotiate it down. Everybody, cash is king, all those things.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody loves that cash, especially on the last day. They don't want
to
take it home.
Yeah, well, it's cash because you don't have to claim it on taxes. I didn't make anything this year.
What it says. No, yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, so Robert, have you figured out anything else on Final Fantasy VII? You said you were confused about things last week or last show.
Yeah, well, story wise, I definitely was, and no, I haven't figured out any of that stuff.
Oh, you still you're more confused? That's the question. I guess I should have asked.
No, well, I'm not any more confused. No, and this is kind of what I was going to touch on today. I haven't done a whole lot, but I have done enough to where I've gone from. Where I was last time, which was like the very first open world segment, I 100%ed that, and then there's like a connecting story bits to the second open world section, which is where I am now, and I've done everything I can do there, and now I'm advancing the story again. But it hasn't really like answered any of the questions that I had from before, so I'm still completely lost story wise.
Yeah.
But I'm really enjoying myself. Like every single. Well, not every single thing. Most of the things I do in the game, I'm just absolutely loving. I think the combat is great. I'm really enjoying the open worlds. And by the time I finish the quests in each open worlds and it's overstayed its welcome, I'm moving on to the next story beat. Now, obviously, you don't have to 100% all these sections or even 100% them right now. You can always go back to them later once you've unlocked whatever you need to unlock to do so. But that's just kind of how I've been going about it because I don't like to really jump around like that. But this game loves mini games, and I'm just not a mini game guy in my like story driven RPGs. And I know it's a Final Fantasy thing, and I know that every single game has their mini games and their card games. And spoilers, I hate card games. Freaking hate card games and this and strategy games, and of course those are the mini games that are in Rebirth. And there's
this one. Oh my god,
say that again.
So oh my lord, that's like I feel offended.
No offense to any parties who love those things. I like that you do, and I'm glad that there's an audience that enjoys them. And I'm not saying they shouldn't be in the game, but they should become completely optional, and I guess they are completely optional, but I needed to do them to get the trophies, so they're not optional to me. And you know, I've actually gotten to the point to where I kind of like this version of whatever card game is in there, and it's just enough that I can get frustrated and overcome my frustration to somehow, you know, squeeze out a win. But then they introduced whatever this freaking Condor game is that is in here, and it is just like a pure strategy, like base defense game with all these limitations and options. And I'm just like, listen, you need to stop right now because I can't finish this section of the game to get that trophy until I do that. And it was like four different missions of this thing, and it just really messed up the flow of what I was doing. I was going around killing these monsters. I was getting intel. I was getting my materia. I was going to figure out what the heck is going on with whoever I'm trying to romance. And that's another pain point. I'll get there in a moment. Thanks. Yeah, that's adorable. I finally had to look it up. I was just, you know, no shame. I had to look up a strategy, and they're like, here's what you need to do. Use this group of things. Place it here, go over there, do that one, and then, you know, just bam, this other guy once you get to this certain point. And even doing that, like, I did this thing like 6-7 times before I finally got through it. And then my map, I was like, it's going to be clear. I got the trophy. We're good to go. And then you know what? You unlocked hard mode. Now, I got my trophy, so I don't have to do hard mode, but the icons are on my map. Guys, they're there, so to me it's not done.
You gotta let that OCD go.
It's like go to a new map and you don't see the map.
Yeah, exactly.
I gotta decide how much I want to hate myself, and right now not very much, so I just skipped them, and we're doing some story stuff now. We'll see what happens. I highly doubt I'll go back to do them, but still. Anyway, what I really wanted to say, other than I hate those type of mini games, is that while every section of this game is technically great, it's well thought out, it looks beautiful, the music is impeccable. If you like cheesiness and animes, it's there for you. If you like a little bit of a more serious tone, they have that in there too. And all of these elements individually, amazing. However, when you're putting them all together and you're going from one thing to the next, it just doesn't flow that great for me. And I don't know if it's because I'm just like trying to tackle like each thing as it comes to me and not like when I feel like doing it, but they presented it to me. And so that's an option. And that, you know, as a designer, I would feel like that's a problem. You don't want to introduce something that can be done in a frustrating manner. But I don't know. Game design is hard. I'm not knocking it. But,
right.
It can definitely mess with the flow, and luckily there hasn't, well, I don't want to say luckily, there hasn't been that much story since the beginning. Like, it's just been little stuff here and there and like nonsense chatter between my party members. But that's a whole nother issue, is that I'm now two of the open world sections into the game and I still don't know what's going on, and there hasn't really been that many huge plot points. And as I said last time, like, I didn't play the original one that much. And so I know that some of these beats are in the original. I don't know what's changed from the original, if any of it's been changed at this point from the original. But I'm just clueless, and I don't like being clueless this long. And part of the problem with the way that this game is designed as a trilogy is I have to, at some point, wait for the third game again. And then I will have forgotten everything that was confusing, and I'll be more confused again when the next game comes out. Yeah, that's all I got to say about that part. It's just, I'm hoping that at some point, like, it all just kind of, like, just blows up together, and it all, there's, like, this moment where you're like, aha, I get it. I see why you did this to me, but we're not there yet.
Do you think, well, I was just going to ask, like, do you think part of the reason why, because I know I have this problem, too, with super long games that are very story-driven, but do you think it's because you have this need to, you know, as you put it good, where it's like, as it's presented to you, it doesn't feel optional. You're like, oh, no, I gotta go do this. Because all of this stuff is popping up all around you, and, you know, it being an RPG. So, and again, me playing as many RPGs as I do, I know the feeling, you know, you want to go do it, especially if you're achievement hunting. God knows I did it with Final Fantasy VII Remake. I ended up getting everything. But, you know, you said you were doing everything. Do you think it's because you're constantly getting sidetracked and doing all these side quests that the main storyline feels longer, and it's because of that that maybe it doesn't feel as fluid? Or do you think it's the way that you're playing, or is it actually the design of the game itself? I haven't played it yet, so I don't know. So
It's a really great question, and I don't know if there's really a straightforward answer. I think yes, but also no, and that's frustrating to say and hear. You know, I hate when people say that sort of thing as a listener, but
I get it.
In this case I think it's true, because I'm doing it as it comes to me. But let's say I did the opposite. Let's say, okay, I'm now two of these open world sections in, but I didn't do everything right. Now I have two sections worth of content that have piled up. So at some point, I'm going to have to stop the main story and do all of the sections that I didn't complete earlier. So the issue will be delayed, but then compounded at that point. So, yeah, I'm doing it this way because as a trophy hunter, achievement hunter, I want to make sure that I'm doing all the side stuff before I do a story element that could potentially lock me out from something. And I would like to think that this game is pretty open and that I can go back and do everything. But I also am not trying to, like, look up an entire trophy guide right now and spoil the game, because I didn't play the original, and I would like to get it organically as it comes to me. I think that just in game design in general, that is a problem that you run into, and I don't really know if there's a good way to fix it other than the game somehow being very transparent with letting you know, hey, there is nothing locked out. You can do it as you feel like. If you only got an hour to play, don't feel like you need to do the story stuff and feel rushed. Go do the side quests and then come back here. But they've also made it so that, I thought I could go back to the first section anytime I wanted, even though I did everything. I found out later, once I unlocked some component in the second section, it's like, you can now return to the area of calm. And I was like, oh, that's great. I'm glad that you told me, but I thought I could always do that. So I don't know going forward, and so I can't really change, like, my playstyle for how I want to see as much content as possible. Does that answer your question?
No, it does, because I mean, I think you and I play almost identically the same way, so it's that's why I was curious, because sometimes I feel that way when I'm playing games where I'm like, damn, is it me, or is this story just dragging, or is there absolutely nothing for hours and hours?
Yeah,
you know, but am I prolonging this? You know, is that happening on my end, or is it just because of, you know, is it the game's fault? You know, so it's hard to tell. So that's why I was just curious and wanted to ask, see your perspective on it.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I mean, it's a great question, and it's something I think that game designers need to think about and I'm sure they do to some degree as they're building these games. But like I was saying at the beginning of my segment here, was that it hasn't really affected my enjoyment. I love every aspect of what I'm doing, you know, besides being forced to do stupid strategy games. I don't usually there's maybe one day every week or a week or every 2 weeks that I really get to put a lot of time in. So a lot of my time is spent on the PlayStation Portal next to my wife in bed, where, you know, after work, like, maybe I had a bad day and I don't want to sit in this darn chair with, you know, staring at the TV behind me. I want to just be comfortable, and so I'll knock out a bunch of the side quests in the open world on the portal, and it's fantastic. But at the same time, that'll be 4 or 5 days worth of doing that and haven't advanced anything in the story. Mm. So yes, it definitely is
yes,
my fault, but also if I don't do it this way, I think it'll still happen if you end up wanting to do that. I guess you don't have to do the content at all. You can just power through the story. I don't think any of this stuff is super important, but like,
yeah,
I want all the materias and the summons and I don't really want to talk to Chadley anymore, but you know, that's an evil that I will suffer through, I suppose.
Well, you made a good point about the mini games, and that like gave me like PTSD for a moment thinking about in a remake getting access to the Yuffie stuff. Once you start playing as her, there's one part when you deal with that little underground, I forget what it's called, that little team or whatever that she's got underground or whatever. It's right in the beginning in Midgar. And you're forced to play, well, if you want the trophy anyways, in which I wanted the achievement. I was playing it all on Steam, so you know, I wanted it all still. But that one mini game of, it was almost like a tower defense thing, but it was not
fun. I vaguely remember that.
Yeah,
I played the Yuffie content wasn't out when I played it the first time through.
Oh, okay.
In remake, because that was added in like the intergrade version.
Right, that's what I was playing. Yeah.
So I played through all of remake, and then they released intergrade, and I played that. So I can't really comment on how those things like flowed together.
Yeah.
Very different content. I don't even remember anything that happened really in the Yuffie content. I remember it was like 3 hours of stuff, and I thought the gameplay was fun from what I remember, but.
It was okay. It was, I mean, honestly, though, but when you compare it to the, you know, the main game, it was honestly pretty forgettable. But
yeah, it was like a little bit of story in the beginning, a little bit at the end, and that was it.
Yeah. Yeah, it wasn't bad, though. But yeah, it wasn't, you know, this, you know, I remember when it came out, everybody was like, oh, yeah, finally. It's like, it was fine.
It was fine. It wasn't bad. It was okay. Free content for me, so I was like, I did it.
Right. Yeah, exactly. So it was fine.
Yeah. Let's see, what else can I touch on? I was going to talk about the friendship meters. So there are things you can do in the game, whether it is certain conversations that you'll, like scripted conversations that you'll have with each of your party members. You'll be given like 1 to 3 different choices to respond with. There's like a good, a better, or I guess a bad, a good, and a best option that you can choose to answer their question or speak to them. Mm-hmm. And depending on what you choose, you will raise a little smiley face meter above their head.
Mm.
And spoilers, pause for later in the game. This is your last warning. Okay. You can. This does happen in the original game, so it's not really that much of a spoiler. But you can go on a date with somebody later in the game, from my understanding. Which is not a whole lot, but it's all based on this meter of who you go on this date with. You don't really get to choose, and that's part of my problem. So I'm going through, and I've been focusing on Tifa as my main person who I want to go on a date with later. Mm-hmm. I feel like she's the most compatible for Cloud, at least how I view Cloud. So that's what I'm going with. However, I don't want to give the bad choices for Aerith either, or Barret. Like, I still want to organically speak to them and say the things that, like, I know. Like, I had to knowingly choose the wrong answer with Aerith the last time I played, because she was leading. She was one up on everybody else, and I'm like, oh, I can't do this, because if at the end all of them are, let's say you got 3 people in like the blue section, whoever is in the lead is the one that you're going on this date with, whether it's Barret or Tifa, or I think even Yuffie. I don't really know for sure, but you can, and it's not technically a date if you're going on, you know, Yuffie, she's underage, everyone calm down. But now I have to make this conscious decision, you know, to not see the story as I wanted to. So that I can make sure that later I experience a story beat how I wanted to. And that's a little bit frustrating. I think that it should be, oh, if you've raised so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so to the correct meter, it should present the question to me, and who do you want to spend this day with, and let me pick. Now this is just going based off of the little bit of information that I looked up to make sure that I was doing the right stuff. So maybe I'm completely off base and they do get to choose, but I believe what I was reading was saying that you don't get the choice. It's whoever is high enough and in the lead. And that bugs me. Yeah. Bugs me a lot. But now I know, so I'm rectifying everybody's feeling towards me in the game to get what I need.
It's almost like you're forced to talk shit to the people that you don't like, basically.
Yeah, and no, the game is literally asking me to manipulate my party members.
Right.
It's only because you have foresight. If you were playing with no knowledge whatsoever, it would just be a thing and you'd know nothing about it. But because that's part of why you're feeling that way, right? So it's kind of like
a weird
thing. Yeah.
I mean, that's 100% true. But I would also be annoyed if I didn't know and then it was just like, oh, you know, you're doing this.
If you find out later, it would still be annoying for sure.
Yeah, it doesn't fix the issue. It just delays my unsatisfaction. Oh god, those are my feelings. That's where I'm at. I'm loving the game despite the complaints that I just had. They were worth noting, but I'm absolutely loving everything else.
I love the game, but also hate it with a butt.
You know, I love being critical of the things that need to be criticized, but I will praise everything else.
Yeah, no, I get that.
It's almost like nothing is perfect, and you can have things you like and things you don't like in the same thing.
What?
But overall, you're one crazy. Or the other. You're weird.
That's a layered opinion.
That's bull crap. Don't. Whatever.
Get out of here.
I guess
this
the one
is
last
the
thing
internet.
I'll
say it's all black and white.
Yeah.
I'm still absolutely love playing it on the Portal. I played it for the first time on the PlayStation 5 like last weekend, I think. And still a great experience, but I just playing that game just comfortable wherever I want, it suits it. And it is a very good looking game, you know, especially like your main party members. They look great. But I would say the world not as good as I would have hoped it would have been, the environments, and putting it on that small screen definitely masks that a little bit, I'd say.
Yeah.
But performance-wise, in my network situation here, it's been phenomenal. Very, very minimal lag or anything. I don't really get stutter. I'm sure there's a slight delay if you were to test it compared to on the PlayStation 5, but it's so minimal that after the first 30 seconds, you don't feel it. Your body adjusts. Your brain fills in the gap.
Yeah.
You know what? It's interesting that you mentioned that because I played, I don't even know, I'll have to check on Steam, but I think I have closer to 80 hours on Remake Integrate. But I want to say 3/4 of those 80 hours were done on Steam Deck.
Yeah.
And it's interesting that like that game, for as incredible as it is, because I loved Final Fantasy Remake, I thought it was absolutely amazing, but for as beautiful as that game is, and you can just see the millions of dollars right on that screen, man. Mm-hmm. Just, you know, pulling it out. My lord.
Absolutely.
The production value is insane. But you would think because of it just being so blockbuster, it'd be great for a TV, and it is. But it's insane how well it still fits as being a handheld game.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it's weird. And there's certainly a lot of games I wouldn't want that experience with. But I feel more engaged in this game playing it on handheld.
That was me.
For whatever reason.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting how that works. But yeah, they sort of nailed the form factor. I don't know how, but you know.
And it might even be because, like, great UI design. It fits it very well. There's a lot of UIs that might just be too cluttered or too small for the smaller screen. But everything here is crisp and clear and bright. And because the gameplay is both real-time and, you know, pseudo, not turn-based, but you can kind of pause time or slow down time significantly when you're in the menus. It just, everything feels great.
Yeah. I don't know. I've played on handheld now for so long that, and I haven't played on a TV in so long. I think it would almost be weird to play on it.
It's been years.
You know, and that sounds, I mean, that sounds crazy, but
you put your hands on it, so it's still handheld.
Yeah. I mean, it's that sounds weird, but I mean, you know, I have not played a game on this 65-inch TV behind me in over a year. It's been on the Steam Deck or the ROG Ally or the Switch.
And for me, I'm still pretty much playing on my TV or PC just because that style of gaming, I'm not using it enough. I barely use my Steam Deck.
Yeah, well, I'm just not home. You know, I mean, I'm just not home anymore. And I just don't feel like dragging the Series S around with me anymore. Now that I've got, I mean, I literally take the ROG Ally and the Steam Deck and put them in my, they stay in my laptop backpack. I mean, I'm taking two whole systems with me on the road now. Whether I whip them out or not during the week and play is a whole nother story. But, you know, still, it's like, I don't know, the Steam Deck, these handheld PC gaming devices have changed the way I play games. I mean, it's...
They've changed, they've come a long way, but also, I mean, even though for as nice and compact as the Series S was, with the ROG Ally, you know, you have, especially if you have own games that are Xbox Play Anywhere titles, then there you go. You can, that's your Xbox, basically.
And that's
Xbox app pretty much.
That's why I bought the ROG Ally. I bought it just to play Game Pass games and games, you know, Windows games that are playable. That's why I bought it. It was for that.
Yeah.
You know, everything else I play on the Steam Deck. I mean, and that just sounds silly. It's like you bought two $600 systems to play two different. Yeah, I did, because I did.
Well, you can't really knock it. It's such a strange phenomenon that, like, it's against everything, like, in my gut or how I used to play games, because it's like, well, it's such a, as Dennis put it, like, you see the millions of dollars they pump into these things. It's such a cinematic experience that I'm more inclined to be like, well, this is a story game with these beautiful cutscenes. I want to see it in the crystal clear clarity. And I have it in quality or in graphics mode, right? So it's like, I want to see it in the highest fidelity possible. But it's also a product of just my situation right now and in the way that our apartment is set up, as you guys can see, the viewers or the listeners can't, but this is my office as well as my streaming section and my gaming section. Whatever.
Yeah, it's all one room. You do everything.
It's all in one space. Yeah. And the living room right now, it has no console in it for the first time in my entire life. It's just a TV and a streaming box for when we're, you know, eating dinner or relaxing, watching a movie. And then Michelle's office is in the bedroom, and she plays games on the TV in there. And so for me, rather than playing it in this chair at the big TV, I would rather spend some time with her doing our own thing together, separately, together.
Well, that was like tonight. Yeah, I was sitting on the couch. We were watching, catching up on our shows for the week. There's shows that me and Nikki watch together that we usually don't watch till Friday night because that's when I get home. And I'm sitting on the couch watching those shows, and I got my Steam Deck in my hand playing games. And, the Final Fantasy VII, I bought it on Steam when it was super cheap on sale a couple months ago. I booted it up, and you're right. That game just looks so good on the Steam Deck. It's unbelievable. And it's just funny because I sit back and think, oh, you hear people online or other people, oh, I've got to play it in 4K. It's got to be 60 frames per second. I'm sitting here playing it on a Steam Deck handheld at 800p going about 30 to 40 frames a second. I'm going, this game looks fantastic. You know, it's like, I'm not even watching it in 1080p. You know, it's like I'm watching it in 800p just going, this game looks just lovely. It's like...
At this point, I'm really concerned about it. It's just stability. You know what I mean? Because, I mean, as pretty as a game is, I mean, there's so many optimization issues that games come out with nowadays that I'm more concerned about. I don't care how pretty you are. If you run like crap, you run like crap. I don't want anything to do with you. Mm. Performance or graphics mode, I don't care. Just be stable, for the love of Christ.
Yeah. I assume all of us, you know, we've lived through the ugliest graphics of all time.
PS1.
The blocky, the PS1, the 32-bit.
PS1, Saturn, 32-bit generation. Those were some polygons there. Buddy.
Yeah, the N64, which has some of the most beloved and ugly-looking games.
Yep, you are right about that.
They don't hold up like a sprite-based game. They're terrible-looking.
Yeah, you're not wrong. But, all right, Dennis, we have waited for months to know what you're playing. And we saved you for last because you always have a big list, and it's always interesting games. Let me pull up the list and pull up Steam so I can start seeing some of these games. Search for them. Because I don't know all of them here. I know it right off the bat. I know Crisis Core.
Yeah, I think you need to look at that Spider-Man 2. I'm not sure what that is.
Never heard of it. Never heard of it. They make Spider-Man games? I had no idea. I've read the comic books and watched the movies. I didn't know there was games about them.
Stardew Valley, yeah.
Yeah. But go ahead. Start wherever you want. We're just poking.
Sure. I'll just start from the top and work my way down. I mean, I've been playing a couple of things. I was playing more, but I didn't want to make the list too long.
Well, we got no news, so it's fine.
I played a game recently called, this was maybe about two, maybe 3 weeks ago, called Return to Grace. It just came out on Game Pass, and, you know, sometimes you're just in the mood for a nice story puzzle-based game, you know, and that, like, oh my god, that it scratched the itch. It wasn't long, maybe 2.5 hours, and no longer than three, that's for sure. It had a couple different endings. I was trying to get all the achievements. I think I did. I can't remember, but I was trying to get all the achievements, and really the only ones that were missable were some of the ones that were, you know, if you got this ending or that ending, or you made a certain choice here and there. But it was really easy to go back once you beat it the first time and reload the last save at, like, the very end of the game, so you can choose a different choice. Mm. So you can knock that achievement out of the way, and then you can go back to a certain chapter or whatever, you know, and make a different choice there, and you knock that out of the way. So it was really easy just doing cleanup after that. But Return to Grace is this really cool narrative puzzle game that takes place in a different planet. You sort of crash land there. It honestly reminded me a little bit of the Turing test. Like, the opening was almost identical to the Turing test. Hmm. Of you being in this pod and then just sort of crash landing into this area, and you walk into this building, and there's a lot of puzzles in the building. But unlike the Turing test, where it was literally puzzle after puzzle after puzzle, almost in a portal fashion, this one was more, you were in this building that was also meant to be a place of history and essentially a new safe haven, basically. This was going to be the place that people were going to go to little by little once Earth stopped existing. In fact, I think Earth did stop existing because they mentioned, like, Earth a couple times without explicitly stating Earth. Mm-hmm. There were some pieces of technology there in this building where they were like, you know, people used to use the most, they said one thing about toilets where it's like, you know, people used to sit on these bowls and, you know, these porcelain bowls that had water in them, and that's how they went to the bathroom. It was sort of like that. But
a
pot? Like, what was it, Demolition Man, where they used the seashells? And everybody's like, paper? They use paper?
You know what's funny? As I'm not even joking, when you walk into one of the bathrooms, actually, there's seashells.
Nah. That's great.
So it was a nice nod to that, but yeah, it's really cool, and it's graphically it's beautiful, my god. But it just it scratched the itch. Mm-hmm. Of what I wanted to play at the time, and I love story puzzle games, like, so much. And it'd been a while since I played one. I can't remember the last one that I did play. So Return to Grace, like, just came out on Game Pass at the perfect time. So I gave that a quick download and played that mostly on my computer, though. It was an awesome experience. So if you're looking for a quick little puzzle game to jump into, and you have Game Pass, go check it out, Return to Grace. But even if you don't have Game Pass, it's only $15, so it's like, you know, you're not spending much to begin with anyway. So
yeah.
You're getting a really, really solid game out of it. So Return to Grace, that was really solid. It reminded me not only of the Turing test, but a little bit of what's that other game with the I got the poster in my head right now, where it's like you have this robot in the front. It's mostly white. Was it? It's like the something project, maybe. Maybe it's not. Maybe the word project.
Are you thinking of Talos Principle?
No, not Talos
Principle. Something else? That's the only thing I was thinking of for that's like a puzzle game.
It's close.
I didn't remember what the art looked like, so I was just taking a stab in the dark.
Yeah. God, man, hopefully it'll come to me as I'm talking. But it reminded me of, you could see the influence from other games for sure, but it was still like just good enough to have its own identity and just really be a solid puzzle-based story game. So it was really, really good. Like I said, not long either, so it doesn't take up much of your time. You can, you know, spend a couple hours during the night, around dinner time, whatever, if you want to do that, and knock it out. And yeah, it's awesome. So I highly recommend that. Next up is Crisis Core Final Fantasy. I know we were talking about Final Fantasy, so figured I'd bring that up really quick. I'm almost done with that. I was playing some earlier today. I'm on almost the final chapter. I think there's 10 chapters, and I'm like at the end of 9. So hopefully I can beat that game soon within the next couple of hours, and get that out the way, because we finally picked up a PlayStation 5, and DoorDash randomly gave me a code for Final Fantasy 16 shortly after it came out. I was like, thank you, DoorDash. All I did was order Taco Bell, and they were like, hey, you ordered Taco Bell. You also deserve Final Fantasy.
they said, it's that guy again. Correct. He's a VIP. We gotta hook him up.
To be fair, they had a promotion going on. I didn't think much of it because, you know, these promotions happen all the time, and, you know, it's like 9 times out of 10 you're never going to win anything. But yeah. I was surprised when I opened up my emails the following day. I think you had to buy like a you had to buy something from the volcano menu that they had. They brought back
that was Clive's favorite item. You know, it was the volcano tacos. Yeah,
I'm a big fan of the volcano burrito, so you know, of course, I had to get some of that. And but yeah, like not even a couple of days later, if not the following day, I randomly got an email from DoorDash that was like, hey, you won. And I was like, what did I win? And opened it up, and it was a copy of Final Fantasy 16. So they sent me
That's pretty cool.
Redeemed it.
Wow. So, fantastic game. Enjoy it.
Oh, yeah. I haven't had a chance to play it yet, but I wanted to finish Crisis Core first before jumping into 16. Not that they're related, but still, it's just I didn't want to jump into two big.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. There's only space for one at a time.
You have to play every Final Fantasy simultaneously and see how far you can get.
That's the only way that the story makes sense.
That's what I was going to say. Maybe that's how the story makes sense. Maybe that's your problem, Robert. You plug it in, you unlock a code. It's like, oh, now I can see everything. It's like...
I would love to see the guy that has like 18 monitors going on at once, just all with a separate fantasy.
Like the Matrix guy, you know, when he walked into the room in the Matrix and had all those screens. It's like,
that's right.
Or Batman when he walks in and he got all those cell phone screens. It's like,
you can see everything. That's the only time it makes sense. To watch someone at Square Enix is going to like make a press release about it. Like,
they're taking notes like that guy.
Yeah.
It's going to be like when they released the Zelda like booklet that showed you how they all connected.
Yeah.
That ridiculous timeline, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
But anyway.
I've been playing some Crisis Core, and I'm almost at the end of it. I like it a lot. I played it back on PSP, the original, forever ago.
Yeah, I did too.
And I was wondering why when I had the Vita, when I first got my Vita, I swear to God, that was one of the first games I went to go look up was Crisis Core, because I knew it was backwards compatible digitally anyways.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they had a lot of classics that you can get on the Vita. So, and they had just about every single Final Fantasy on there up until Crisis Core. And I was like, what the hell's going on? So I looked it up, and I guess it was a licensing issue. We were talking about this earlier. It was a licensing issue with the song at the end of the credits. But that was apparently it.
Mm-hmm.
It was the end credit sequence that I guess they couldn't renew the license for. But what didn't make sense to me is, like, it's... I don't know. Maybe it's for artistic reasons. I don't know. But it's the credits, dude. I don't know. I wouldn't have minded if you had just, like, muted it, you know, or just gotten rid of it, you know,
yeah.
Or whatever. The entire game is intact regardless. It's just the credit sequence that I guess...
Well, they just used like a licensed song instead of something made for the game.
Right. Right, I don't know. Yeah.
It was like a weird choice.
I don't know. I don't know what the logic was, but that was one of the reasons why I guess they just never put it up on the PlayStation Store. So I was like, all right, whatever. So when I heard it got remastered a couple of years ago, I was like, oh, awesome. And then I finally picked it up. I don't remember when, but I got it for like dirt cheap. So... $16-$17. So finally got around to playing it a couple of weeks ago, so here I am almost finishing it finally, and it's It's awesome. It's not as good as, you know, regular Final Fantasy VII, but it's nice to have that perspective of the story, though, and I think it does it really, really well. There's certain things that are, you can tell, haven't aged as well, and why they haven't put toggles on, like how every time you enter a battle, it says activating combat mode, and then conflict resolved after you've beaten it. Why you can't turn that off, because sometimes battles happen almost instantaneously one after the other, so you have to hear that constantly of this robotic animals. I think it's obnoxious. And so yeah, I don't know why, and it's in, I'm not the only one. I looked it up just to see, and there's a bunch of Reddit posts and just forum posts in general, people being like, why? Oh, yeah. Why people, even when I went to go look up the mods, one of the most requested mods is there a way to take out the audio for this? It just, please, just the audio. Like it's that, please, you know, it can become that not frustrating, but it's
annoying.
It's annoying, yeah. So but yeah, there's no way to turn that off for whatever reason. But other than that, the remaster is really well done. Like, my god, it is polished, man. It is You can still see some of the dated techniques because it's a 1-1 remaster. They didn't really change much of anything. Oh. Like, if you look at side-by-sides, yeah. I mean, everything, there's no motion capture changes. It's literally identical to the PSP.
Just like version. A 3D model update?
Basically, yeah. Yeah. And yeah, not just like a texture update. Like, they pretty much updated just about damn near everything in that game. Mm. But so it looks like a brand new game. But otherwise, you know, when you look at the sequencing of it, it is identical. It's a 1-1. There's literally nothing different about it. They didn't remove or add any content. It is just 1-1 as far as I know.
which is fun. I was really wanting to play it before I dove into part 2 of Remake Rebirth, right? So, yeah. But I decided against it because when I was researching it, I guess they didn't really like, as you were saying, they didn't change anything from the original release. So it doesn't actually lead into the story of Remake. For people who have played it, there's events that have been altered that don't happen at the end of the game that he's playing. So I guess I'm going to wait just to play it until after, that, just as it, you know, it was intended, I guess, because it released after the original.
No, I think that's fair. I wouldn't say you're missing out on much, honestly, but definitely worth a play once you do get the time. Because I know you're a big Final Fantasy fan also, so but the remaster is really, really well done. The UI has been adapted from Remake, so it's clean, it looks amazing, it's great. Yeah, plays really well. I'm playing on just jumping back and forth between, you know, PC and Steam Deck. So, you know, but it runs great on both, especially, you know, bumping it up to, you know, 1440p, and it goes up to 120 frames if you're on the, you know, on a computer versus the Steam Deck. But the Steam Deck is really, really fluid as well. It fits both play styles, you know, if you want that, you know, big screen experience or just, you know, more comfy handheld, it fits both great. And I think when I think of remasters, this is basically what I think. I do think there are other remasters that are better, but this is the bare minimum of just like, this is what I think of when I think of remasters. This is what I want. This is, it's not just like you just ported it and then you maybe, you know,
up-res it.
Right. You up-res it and you called it a day. Like, that's not, you know, I guess by definition that's a remaster, but that's not I'm sorry that's not worth you know, my money, right, as far as I'm concerned. So but this is a genuine, you know, remaster that feels not only faithful, but enough has been done to it to also make it feel part of this generation also, you know. So but again, because it is so faithful and you have that 1-1 sort of transition in there, you're going to have that 2007 feel to it. I think that's when it came out, around that time, you know, that dated sort of feel. So
I think that's important, though. You don't want to alter anything unless you are going the route of a complete like remake to modernize the game. This is just really cleaning it up so that you can enjoy it with your in today's standards, right?
Right, absolutely. Yeah, especially with modern controls, too, because you got to think about how also back then the PSP, it's crazy to think about, the PSP just had one stick.
Yep.
It didn't have a full stick. know, that didn't happen until the Vita came out. So, so you were also playing that game with one stick. It was hard to really navigate the camera unless you did what they did with most games back in the day, where you had to like hold a button and then left trigger, yeah, or right, right trigger. So, you know,
like the worst camera control ever.
Such a pain.
Yeah. Oh my god. Yeah.
All I can think of is Monster Hunter on the DS, on the 3DS, before they put that stick on there. Oh my gosh, it was terrible.
The weird hook kind of thing.
Yeah.
Oh my god, but that's, yeah, I mean, that's a great example of pretty much that. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, you're playing, you know, now with, you know, and with much more fluid controls, it's much more ergonomic, much more intuitive, and the user interface is great as well. But yeah, I'm not sure if they redid the voices or not. I feel like I read somewhere that they did, but everything still feels very PSP, you know, where, like, voice acting was very low priority, you know, in handheld games back then, you know? So some of the voice acting, especially particularly for Zack, honestly, everyone else is fine, but for Zack, the main character, the protagonist of that game, is like, oh my god, dude. Like, I don't know who was responsible for that. I haven't looked up the credits, but, like, it's almost like they're making fun of voice acting, really, the way that they sort of present. Yeah. Well, a lot of the time he's just like, no, oh my god, Cloud, you know, like, it's just this very, like, it's meant to be like facetious almost, rather than, you know, something serious. But meanwhile, something very serious is happening, you know. So, but here he is almost sounding like he just doesn't care. You know, just being like, oh my god, Sephiroth, no, why'd you do that? It just sounds very like he don't care. He's just being like I said, just facetious about it also. But overall, I'm enjoying the game. Obviously, I wouldn't be close to beating it if I wasn't. So here I am now, 20 plus hours, 20, I don't know how many, I know it's over 20, but yeah, trying to, you know, get achievements as they go also, because, you know, like Robert was talking about earlier, it's like, you know, some things they just present it to you and it's like, damn, well, I gotta do this now. Especially, you know, at least Crisis Core, you had mentioned that it didn't tell you this in Remake or Rebirth so far, but at least in Crisis Core, it tells me like, hey, once you proceed past this point, you cannot go back. So if you got stuff you gotta finish, do it now. So I like that it at least tells me that.
And it might at some point in the game, like, I don't know if 13 chapters down the line, you know, it's like, oh, but this is it until after the end of the game. But maybe they should tell me that ahead of time, like, hey, you're free to explore the world anytime you want until a certain point in the game, we'll tell you.
Right.
just be transparent with me.
Yeah.
Right. but yeah, no, so that's been at least nice. So I've been trying to get it as it goes, and I feel like I've missed a few, but at the very least, you know, I've been trying to keep up, you know, with decent tabs on save files, so just in case, because I know it's one of those types of games where, like, there's just so many missable trophies because, I guess, same deal because of, you know, some mini games too. So speaking of them earlier, where it's like, god, you almost feel forced to do them even though they're technically optional, you know, but if there's a trophy involved or an achievement, whatever, you know, it's like, well, now I kind of got to do it.
You're telling me there's a reward for doing it.
Right. So, and damn it if I don't want the rewards. You
know? I need that one single chime, okay?
So, but yeah, no, it's been a really solid time, though. I will say I'm ready to finish it so I can just move on and start up another Final Fantasy. So, but yeah, Reunion's been really, really solid and has run really well. But in addition to that, I've also been playing, this was a much, much shorter game, been playing, and I kind of combined them together because they're technically the same game, just split into two parts. One's a prologue, really, but I've been playing Project Cat and Paper Lily, Chapter 1. Those are both completely free, and it's one of those games where you feel weird for playing it for free because it's so good that you're like, why didn't I pay for this? You know, but it's offered for free. There is no way to pay for it. It's already a free game. And so now I think the succeeding chapters will not be free. And these were meant to be sort of you know,
kind of like a teaser, right? Kind of like get you hooked almost a little bit.
Yeah, pretty much. And I'll be damned if it didn't. It really did get me hooked. And you can tell by the reviews on both of those. I think they're both overwhelmingly positive, with God knows how many thousands and thousands of reviews so on Steam. So you know, people are very much hooked now, and I think when Chapter 2 comes out, it's going to be a big success. I think this is going to be that next big indie RPG hit that I think is going to, you know, really, really blow people away, much like Undertale did, much like Deltarune did, mm-hmm. you know, and I think this is going to be the next big one of that. Both are horror RPGs, I guess you can call it an RPG. There's no real fighting or anything. It's very much but I mean, wouldn't really call it a walking simulator either, but it's very much an RPG Maker game, sort of in the same vein that To the Moon is, you know, or Bird Story, or yeah, those types of games, basically, where it's very story driven and puzzle based as well. So but they have fantastic art. They don't take up much time either. Project Cat, I mean, you can beat that thing in like 45 minutes. It's not long at all. And the achievements are really easy to get also. I end up getting 100% achievements on those. Same thing with Paper Lily Chapter 1. But Paper Lily Chapter 1 is much longer, though. You're going to be taking at least 2 to 3 hours on that. But again, for a game that's free, it was an awesome time and very memorable. The characters are great. The story's great. The environmental design is fantastic. The music's good. It's just, you know, RPG Maker games tend to have, you know, this tend to be notorious for all feeling more or less the same. But this was, there's a lot of heart and soul put into this. And it is, I mean, I can't say enough good things about it. I think I even wrote a review for it, at least for Chapter 1, on Steam.
Dennis.
I can't hear Dennis.
Cut out, buddy.
We heard the write on Steam, and that's the write a review on Steam. That's the last we heard.
Oh, okay. Well, that was basically the end of what I said. Yeah, it was I wrote a review on Steam, and it's a really incredible time. And it's a highly recommended. Again, it's free. You're not losing. Nothing's coming out of your wallet. It's completely right. free. Go and enjoy it. You know, go. You know, support. You know, this dev team. Don't think it's more than two people. I think it's just two people, if not just one guy. But yeah, this is one to look out for. And like I said, I'm not going to take up much of your time. Easy achievements too, if you want easy achievements, and great on the Steam Deck also. I don't think it says initially that it has Steam Deck support.
Oh yeah, it's verified as Steam Deck.
Oh, it is verified. Okay, yeah. Cool. Mm-hmm. It runs perfectly fine. So, but yeah, I've been playing those, and those have been really, really great. Speaking of horror, though, we also tried out Silent Hill, The Short Message, since, like I said, just got a PS5 the other day. So, you know, I'm a big Silent Hill fan, and so one of the first things I did, you know, after it was set up, was I went to the PlayStation Store and got Silent Hill, The Short Message. Mm-hmm. I know that came out a while ago, maybe a couple months ago. Konami wanted to put out this little teaser. They have so many Silent Hill projects now just that have been booming, you know, just out of nowhere, you know, because they want to bring it back in a big fashion. You know, so and this was one of, I don't even know how many projects now at this point, but yeah, it's completely free, also free, just like Project Cat and Paper Lily. And this one's definitely more of a horror roller coaster. You know, it's not going to be your traditional Silent Hill. It's not really survival horror in the sense. It's just more so, it's very PT-esque, honestly. You can tell they got the influence that there was a lot of, because of the success of PT, you know, and all the games that have tried to replicate, you know, the PT, that they sort of wanted to do their own little version of it too. So so that's what The Short Message more or less is, but still not as scary as PT. But definitely had a couple of jump scares, and the atmosphere was strong too. You're going through this apartment building and playing as this girl. I think her name was Anita, I want to say. And you know, she's not, you know, mentally she's not in the best state of mind. You know, she's sort of you know, not enjoying life too much, you know. So, you know, so she's on the brink of just, you know, jumping off a roof. And you know, and so she goes to this apartment because her one of her friends that she hasn't seen in a while told her to meet her there. And so she goes there, and like in good Silent Hill fashion, you know, everything gets all foggy and rusty, and it's just like, oh, you told me you were here, where are you at? And they just keep repeating in a really eerie fashion, I am here, I am here. But you're looking for them, they're nowhere to be found. And
oh, we lost you again, Dennis.
Get out again.
Sorry. So while you're going to this apartment building, you know, you're just going from room to room and, you know, just essentially checking out, well, just this apartment, just trying to find your friend, basically. Yeah. But because her friend's an artist, you start to see this art sort of become alive a little bit, you know, on the walls and stuff written everywhere. But then stuff tends to become meaner and meaner. Things just, you know, a lot of expletives and you know, terms, degrading terms and things like that start to be all up on the walls, and it's starting to make her feel worse and, you know, things like that. And, you know, because of that, you know, Silent Hill, the whole basis of Silent Hill is it tends to take your moral dilemmas and your, you know, the negatives of your life and really amplifies it and wow. turns them into monsters and stuff like that. So, of course, because that's happening to her, you know, you're starting to see this place just become more and more dilapidated over time and just, you know, really just falling apart. And especially by the end, during the last chapter, where things are just, I mean, that is like true Silent Hill, where it's just like pure rust and everything. But it was like I said, it's not, it was Silent Hill mostly in aesthetic and stuff like that, but you could tell where the influence of PT came from, and that things were still very different from traditional Silent Hill. So like I said, it wasn't really survival horror. It was more so you going around and experiencing this more or less a walking simulator, really. But in a, you know, in an eerie place. Not a long game. I think maybe an hour and a half. It wasn't too long.
Yeah. I'd been putting it off because I didn't want to get, you know, stuck in something super long.
Oh, no. Yeah, I mean, it's free. So, but even for something.
It's called the short message. So if it was, like, really long, that would just be a little bit weird.
It could leave some indication.
Touche.
It's the short 30-hour message. Wait, what?
What?
I think I spent more time in PT, you know, running in circles, not knowing how.
Right, just in circles. but yeah, so it's not long. It's like maybe an hour and a half, but it's a strong hour and a half. I know when the game came out, people were excited for it, and they played it, and they thought it was a little lackluster. And I don't know why, because maybe it's because people went in expecting to go back to the roots of Silent Hill. Again, number one, it's a free game. Number two, they have so many projects going on where they want to really expand Silent Hill at this point too. And it's no different from Resident Evil. Resident Evil isn't always this, you know, like the mainline games. You know, you have so many other Resident Evils that are like mercenaries, well, that's just a shooter. You know, yeah. You got Resistance, that's just another, that's like Dead by Daylight. You know, all these other Resident Evil games are just, you know, it's not unheard of. You know, you just want to expand that property and try to hit everything.
Do the Silent Hill games have any sort of like continual continuity or anything, or are they all kind of like
one, two, and three? Not four. But 1, 2, and 3.
Yeah. 4 onwards are definitely all standalone. 1 and 3 are connected.
What about, I thought Homecoming and what's the one on the Wii? There's also Shadow on PS2. Is that the expensive Shadow one? Man. Yeah. Isn't that sort of like a remake of 2 or something, right? Or a partial remake?
I can't remember if it's a remake of 2 or 1. I think 1. One, yeah, it's 1, yeah. But it's like a different perspective of 1. It's weird. Like, it's a remake, but also like a more of a reimagining is probably the best way to put it, really, of Silent Hill 1. But overall, I wouldn't worry too much about it. I think if you never played Silent Hill, just pick one and go for it. Well, not Downpour. Don't stay away from Downpour.
Whoa. I mean, 4 is pretty. Origins is kind of cool if you like something different. That's a
4 is really awesome. I like 4 a lot. 4 is definitely, I think,
like nobody else.
Yeah.
that's not even a Silent Hill game technically, right? It was something else Silent originally. Hill? Yeah, The Room.
The Room.
It was supposed to be something else, right?
I don't know.
I don't remember either. Anyway, it's definitely different than the others. That's a good way to look at it.
It is, especially because you're not really in Silent Hill. You're in this apartment that just happens to be like a block. Yeah. I think you're like a couple blocks down from Silent Hill, actually. Yeah. But the thing is, you end up getting this hole in your bathroom, as every house does. And you eventually.
It's every modern home. Modern, yeah, place every modern home.
Yeah, it'll make them like they used to. You know how it is. So you go through the hole that keeps growing and growing. And eventually that takes you to this. I think that sort of leads into this weird influence of Silent Hill, basically. But you end up in like a subway station at first. And then
is it a bathroom in a subway station?
A subway. No, it's a cafeteria.
Look, well, it's not in the best condition, okay? We're talking, it's a subway station, so. But there's a couple of dead rats, a couple of zombie dogs, whatever.
But, I mean, as long as the rats are dead, it's fine.
Yeah. There's a lot of influence from New York there. So yeah, it's but Silent Hill has always been an incredible series, and the short message, I think, it set out what it set, you know, what it wanted to do, and I think it did it very well. You know, it was I didn't have any problems with it. I thought by the time I was the hour and a half passed, I was very happy with it. You know, again, that's it good. Wasn't this incredible thing, but for being a free game, what right does anybody have to bitch and moan about it? You know?
Exactly, yeah, it's you're free. Right. Well, because somebody will complain. They're like, they're letting this franchise rot. Look at Metal Gear. You know how people are.
Yeah, well, yeah, I think it's a whole thing with Konami too, where it's just like, you know, you can, you know, and I get it, because I'm one of those people where it's just like, you know, they lost my trust a long time ago, but I'm trying to be very forgiving and understanding with and optimistic about how they're going to handle Silent Hill going forward, because, you know, Silent Hill 2 by Bloober Team, I think it's looking good so far. I'm excited for it. I love Bloober Team of all their past works, so you know, I'm excited for that. Silent Hill's short message was solid. Again, not this incredible thing, but far from bad. You know, it was really solid. But I wasn't crazy for, I think it's called Ascension, Silent Hill Ascension. That was that mobile game that was made by Behavior, the guys behind Dead by Daylight. Except it's nothing like Dead by Daylight. It's like this live TV show, choose your own adventure type thing, but not in the traditional sense that you would get from like Supermassive Games or Telltale or anything like that. It was literally a live show that you would all watch at the same time. It was episodic, and it would only stream once. And you had to like play live. If you didn't play live, you just missed it. And the concept was just weird, and I don't know. It didn't work out, I think.
It definitely sounds a bit odd, yeah.
Yeah. So. But hopefully they just package it all and they just release it on all platforms eventually, because then it would make more sense, I think. But it was an odd presentation and format for that game.
You know what? One of the best Silent Hill games is the arcade game. Have you played that?
The arcade one? No.
Yeah, what you need to go to like round one, and they have. I've seen it there a couple times. It's a shooter. It's definitely good, but it definitely takes place between a couple of the games. It's pretty competent. It's a good game if you want.
I don't think I've ever paid attention to a story in any arcade game.
That's
ever.
Right. You want to blast some weirdos and kill Pyramid Head? No, it's a pretty good game.
That sounds awesome, though. I would love to try that. That sounds awesome.
Let's see if I can find some.
But yeah, it's and then they have Silent Hill F coming out. God knows when that's in the works. It's probably. Still so early, and then they have Silent Hill Townfall, not Downfall, Townfall, which is done by the folks behind Observation. I love that game. Observation is a great game, and they also did Stories Untold, I believe. And if you've played one or both of those games, they are really unique and really, really great. Technically point and click games, I guess, but they present their story in such a fantastic fashion, and it's super immersive, their stuff. So I'm really excited with what they do with their rendition of Silent Hill and making the story in their format, you know. And I think it's going to be, there's something really promising that I think is going to happen there. Also in collaboration with Annapurna, also, you know, and Annapurna is great, so we all love Annapurna. So But yeah, Silent Hill, the short message. It was really solid. Like I said, free. Only on PS5 at the moment. I don't think you can get it on PC. So if you have a PS5, do yourself a favor. Download that. Check it out. Or, you know, again, with how short it is, watch somebody on YouTube play it. You know, preferably without commentary. Because that's a game you want to get invested into and immersed. You know, you don't want somebody's voice in the background. You know, if you can just find, like, a pure gameplay version of it, I think you'll really enjoy it.
Did you get one of the new slim PS5s, or did you get one of the older ones?
No, I didn't want that satellite. Yeah, no, I wanted the swing. I told myself when the PS5 came out, I was like, I'm not getting that thing until they shorten it, they shrink it, they do something to it. I don't have the room for this, man. That's got to go in the driveway.
But it doubles the shelter, you know, in a pinch. So yeah.
And heat. It has a silver lining. just like the Series S, you just warm your hands over top of it while it's spitting out heat.
That's lots of devices.
Joke, but I did warm my hands this winter.
With, yeah, you're not wrong.
Michelle's PS5.
Yeah. Anyway, go ahead. I was just curious. I didn't know if you got maybe the Spider-Man edition. I've seen a lot more consoles readily available than I have in a long time. It's crazy to walk in and see. I can get a Spider-Man 2 PS5. I can get a regular PS5. I can get a slim PS5. I can get a Series X. It's like we're finally at this point where everything's on the store shelves all the time. It's kind of weird.
4 years into the generation.
Yeah, I know, right? It's crazy.
But I did get the slim. I was actually really surprised. I didn't realize how, I think it's 30% smaller, but that 30% made a big difference, because when I pulled it out of the box, I was like, oh my God, this is like, you know, holding it in one hand and like turning it around. I was like, this is basically what I was looking for. This is a nice size.
I can't do that. I got to pull it out with both hands and lift it up and then set it down and then screw a stand on it.
It's not small.
You need a whole frame to lift that.
Yeah, it is really. But anyway, go ahead. Sorry, I didn't mean to sidetrack you there. It was more just curiosity was getting to me. I had to know.
So here's the thing. I got Robert had mentioned earlier, he's all digital now. And honestly, at this point, so am I. I got the digital console. We got a great deal on it. It was $400. Okay, Spider-Man with the Spider-Man version. Well, it wasn't Spider-Man, not the decal, but it came with the game.
Right? Yeah.
And that's really what I wanted a PlayStation for, was the Spider-Man. So it came with the game, $400. All right, on sale for $400. I traded stuff in forever ago, so I already had a GameStop card, a gift card, trade card, whatever, that had $225 on it. So we just had to pay the difference, and we were golden. So already more than half of that was taken care of already.
Yeah, you can find some good deals right now on consoles, PlayStation 5s included. It's crazy. Yeah.
So I figured, you know what, now's a good time. You know, yeah, I got a good deal on not only the console, but, you know, Spider-Man comes with it. That's what I wanted. Plus, the cool thing with the Slims, too, is, like, if for whatever reason I really wanted to play something physically later down the line, the Slims have that detachable disc.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I just buy that separately and attach it, and we're good to go. Yeah. You know, so it's, I'm not worried about it.
Yeah,
so,
that's cool.
But at this point, you know, I've with how my gaming habits are now, I really just use the PlayStation. To me, I'm just there for the exclusives at this point.
Yeah.
You know, so everything else I'll play on my Xbox and my PC, you know. So that's so again, I'm not worried about it. I'll play my exclusives, and then whenever I'm not playing there, I'll play on everything else. And then I just don't need physical copies for it.
Yeah. That's why I am.
Yeah, so, but we got the Spider-Man. We've been playing Spider-Man. According to my game progress, because it shows you your game progress on the home menu, I guess, it said I'm about 62% of the way through the game, so a little more than halfway, and having a great time with it. You know, I better late than never, as they say. I see that Silent Hill arcade. That looks awesome. Spider-Man, I love Spider-Man, the first one, and then Miles Morales was fantastic also. Spider-Man 2 is also just an incredible, incredible game. Playing it on, like Robert was saying, you know, like I too like to see, you know, the prettiness of the game. So I have mine on graphical, on the graphical setting, you know.
The only reason I say that is because the swinging is so much more fluid and better with the higher frame rate, and that it feels a lot better to me.
Yeah, I believe it. I played the game.
I would switch back and forth with. If I'm doing like side missions, I would throw that on performance, and then I'm like, oh, I'm going to go do story missions? All right, let's knock it over to quality.
Yeah, because for sure, it is a very pretty game.
Yeah, those cutscenes look all of them nice are. 4K. Oh yeah, they're all amazing looking. But yeah, when on PS4 Pro with the other two, I absolutely had them on performance. They were incredible. But yeah, since I'm really going through the story mainly here, I'm doing some side stuff also. But Spider-Man's very flexible, you know, so I don't feel compelled. You know, we were talking about game design earlier. I think Spider-Man's game design is really, really good, where I don't feel compelled where I have to do this. So you're making it optional. You know, it feels actually optional here, you know.
Yeah.
So I can
focus. I haven't played two, but I remember both Morales and Spider-Man 1. They were actually really good about, like, if you do them as they come out, it's like, here's five side missions on your way to your main mission.
Right.
And so, like, it was, like, perfectly, you know, oh, I can keep it varied, and now I got a story beat, and now varied, and now a story beat. It's not like, here's a dump of 30 missions.
Right.
You hear the beeping of the dump truck backing up.
Yeah, oh, no. Here come the side missions. Oh, crap.
They have arrived. All of them.
Yeah, just back.
All at once.
Stump it right over there. It's fine.
Just right there. I'll get to it.
Yeah.
Well, that's the worst. They dump them all out at once. It's like, oh, I can't that one for another 30 more levels. Great. Now I have to remember it.
Yeah, now it's going to be stuck on that screen for...
But yeah, Spider-Man 2 has been a just an amazing, amazing time to go through. And, you know, just like the other ones, Insomniac knocked us out of the park once again. The story is fantastic. The gameplay feels as great as it always has. I mean, ever since the first one, they knocked it out. I mean, the combat feels great. The skill trees are really easy to read and, you know, intuitive. And everything about it is just so good. I will say, though, in their defense... don't fix what's not broken. But Spider-Man 2 literally just feels like more, as Miles Morales did, of like, here's just more of what we already did. Nothing really feels substantially new to me, but honestly, that's okay.
Yeah.
It's okay. It's not great.
No big deal. And if it's a good game to begin with, you know what I mean? If it's as good as the first one, yeah.
I mean, that's why I have not played it yet, is because there's just so much stuff that came out in the fall that I just like, I know what Spider-Man is, I don't need to get to it right away. So it's kind of been on the to be played at some point list.
Yeah, that's me too.
Yeah, me too.
At this point, it may be wait long enough, it may just come out on PC and I may just buy it there.
Oh, it'll be on PC at some point.
Yeah.
Copy. I need to crack it open.
Yeah. I mean... yeah, we don't have any news stories, but they finally announced Ghost of Tsushima on PC coming out in May. Yay! So,
yeah, you can buy it and start it and not finish it again.
Yeah.
For the third time. That'd be great.
I'm going to buy it so I can play it on my Steam Deck and I can play it all the time.
Yeah.
That is a game I wish I liked more because I like how pretty it looks, but I never got that far into it when I played it on PS4 and then again on PS5. I just got like a certain part into it and I was just like, I couldn't keep going.
I loved it. But
I thoroughly enjoyed that game. It was super casual for me. Yeah. I could just pick it up and do a little bit here and there. It was a fun time.
I just never finished it because I was...
just for some reason, it didn't grab me as much as I thought it would.
I wanted to, but I was just never home to play it. So, it was just, and then other things came and I got to play this. And then it just kind of snowballed and went, I still have Ghost of Tsushima to play. So, but I'll pick it up on Steam and... that way, at least I can play it on Steam Deck. I mean, it won't be probably the prettiest way to play it, but that's okay. I mean, I play Spider-Man really on it. It should. I mean, Spider-Man looks fantastic on the Steam Deck, so I enjoy playing.
Especially with all the areas, some of the areas that have the bold color, like the Yellow Leaf Forest and some stuff. Other places in that game will look really good on Steam Deck, especially on the OLED.
Yeah, I am glad I picked up the OLED. I really am, because it does make a big difference. But Dennis
was
in,
what's it called? The Kurosawa mode, and then it'll be, it's supposed to look kind of grainy.
Yeah, yeah, exactly, yeah. So I didn't mean to derail you about Spider-Man. I didn't know if you had anything else to say about it.
No, that was basically, that was basically it. I mean, I'm still playing through it, so I won't be able to give my full thoughts until I'm done with it, because I will finish it. But who knows when that'll be. Hopefully sooner rather than later, but overall I'm having a great time with it, just like I did the other two. So, which I knew going into it, I was like, this is going to be a great game, which is one of the reasons why for me it was a system seller, because I loved the first two tremendously. So that was my main purchase for this. Obviously, I ended up getting Final Fantasy 16 also, so I want that. I was initially going to wait for the PC release. I didn't mind waiting for the PC release, but since I got that code, I'm like, hey, why not? So,
well, yeah, I mean, yeah, it's free. Yeah.
So, I need to go back to the DLC and, for that.
And it looks really great on PS5 anyway, so
yeah.
There you go.
But yeah, that's basically it.
Oh, okay, cool. Well, that wasn't a big list. I mean, it was big, but, you know, you haven't been here in a while. I mean, it was...
It looks very big next to the rest of us.
Well, it does, yeah.
A lot of the titles are just long, too. They're just long titles.
Yeah, so, yeah.
Crisis Core, Final Fantasy, Reunion, blah, 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 blah. Like, wait, this is three paragraphs of text, but it's one title. What's going on?
Yeah.
Why do you do this to a Square Enix? Why?
Because Square Enix has got to have the longest names in the universe. They always do. That way you remember them. What? That doesn't
just
make
wait.
Sense.
They're going to put out
one
like...
game with the symbol.
Yeah.
they'll go the opposite. So it's just literally just random symbols, like just a symbol for it. It's one thing. You have to figure out what that means.
Yeah, exactly. Like Prince.
the artist formerly known as
Prince. Yeah. Yeah. So, well, that's all I have. Has anybody got anything else before we call it a show? I like it when we're all here and we don't have any news to talk about. We just got what we've been playing talking about. Yeah, because then most of the time it's always different games. And when Dennis is here, he's always got these one games. And I swear to God, my Steam wish list is just full of, oh, okay, let me add that one. That one sounds cool. Oh, yeah, let me add that.
It's too bad you can't, like, categorize your wish list so you can be like, these are all the ones that I got from Dennis. And
yeah.
Like, see what the percentage is.
Oh, I know what the percentage would be. It'd be the Dennis wish list of mine that I've added would be this long, and mine would just be like two. It's like, because there's always stuff from Dennis. It's like, oh, that sounds interesting. And then it'll go on sale. I'll be like, where the hell did I remember hearing this game about? Oh, it must have been Dennis that recommended. I see he owns it, so it must be Dennis. There. But all right, well, we're going to call that a show. Let's see. It's 15th. So yeah, I'll actually be on vacation the next time we record. So I'll definitely be around on that Friday.
The end of the month. I should be around.
Yeah, it'd be the 29th. That's Good Friday. I don't know what anybody does for Easter. We don't do anything, so other than go to church on Sunday. But we'll be in town. So, but no, there's actually a week break where we're not doing anything for work. So I said, I'm taking a vacation. it's Nikki's spring break too, so we're both going to be off at the same time. And what are we going to do? We're going to clean out the garage and clean out the basement. So hopefully the next time I'm on, you won't see all this junk just sitting back here behind me. It'll be all nice and clean. We'll see how the week goes, though. I can't promise anything. But yeah, so like I always say, you know, if you're subscribed to us on iTunes or wherever you get your podcast, you know, you'll know when we go, you know, when the next show will come out, cause it'll just magically appear in your subscription box. It's really easy. So, but, yeah, so I guess we will call that a show, and thanks a lot guys for hanging out and listening, and we'll catch you all next time. Podcast is part of the Gamers Lounge Radio Network. Get more gaming news and shows at www.the-gamers-lounge.com.